Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Are you ready for the Word of God? So bow your heads down and say, Lord, speak to me today. Let your Word come very expressly. Say, Lord, speak to me. Let your Word bless me today. Open your eyes of understanding, that my eyes of understanding be enlightened, that I know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him up from the dead and set him on his right hand. Father, we thank you. Lord, we ask that every heart be blessed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. I'm going to speak on the subject that I've called the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. You can also title this sermon as the witness. The witness. W-I-T-N-E-S-S. The witness. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. And then Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after or when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. I want to speak on something very important, and I want you to just pay attention, because the spirit of this message will produce revolutionaries in and amongst us. Hallelujah. Now, my introduction will be a bit controversial, because if you look at the Christian faith, we have a lot of denominations. There is the Pentecostals, there is the Catholic, there is the Anglican, there is, and all of this is wonderful. The Baptist, the Reformed, the Protestants, and what have you. But you see, Pentecost is actually not a denomination. If you look at the scripture, especially in Acts chapter 2 or Acts chapter 1, when Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Pentecost is not supposed to be a denomination. We're reading the scripture and we're seeing an event. Pentecost is actually a feast in the Jewish celebration in which at a particular time, the Holy Spirit came upon the early church. So now there is a problem, because in the early 1900s, to be precise, 1901, certain believers started to speak in tongues, and they labeled them as Pentecostals by associating speaking in tongues with those who are called Pentecostals. Is good, but is also a problem. I remember I've done a teaching here before on all the feasts that the Jewish people celebrated. You have the feast of, you have the Passover, you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You have the Pentecost. You have the Tabernacles. You have so many things. Seven feasts. So Pentecost was one of those feasts that was celebrated. Now, the leaders of this new denomination made one of their requirements. That's in the 1900s. They made one of their requirements to joining the church to be that you must be able to speak in tongues. And because a lot of Orthodox denominations who had a pushback on speaking in tongues, because what you don't understand, you will hardly accept. So they said, you know what? You do your speaking in tongues. We don't understand speaking in tongues. Let us stay where we are. So they labeled those who speak in tongues as Pentecostals. But in my opinion, like if you think about it, the word Catholic, what's the meaning of the word Catholic? Catholic actually means the universal church. So there are some things that I personally, this is my personal opinion, now I'm not saying the Bible said. There are some things I believe that are not supposed to be labeled as denomination, because everyone who is a believer is supposed to be a Catholic of the faith. Because the word Catholic is that we're universal, and we're universal of a faith. We're universal of a Christ. However, it's just like saying if a man gets saved on Christmas Day, the man is called a Christmas Costal. It doesn't make any sense to label someone his salvation based on the day he was saved. The most important thing is the salvation, that he has faith in Christ and his identity is based on the one he has put faith in. So our denominations are wonderful. I'm not here to criticize any denomination, no. Because God is beautifully expressed in our diversity. I've heard a lot of people say, why don't we just merge all the churches in one? You see, the Holy Spirit is diverse. The Holy Spirit doesn't do mono. He does, what's the opposite of mono? Help me now. Somebody say monos. Holy Spirit doesn't do mono. He does many. Eh? Poly. That's the word, poly. Holy Spirit is not a mono spirit. The Holy Spirit is a poly. God said, let there be the birds of the air. It wasn't just pigeon. Are we together now? There were all kinds. God said, let there be the herbs of the field. It wasn't just one kind of field. It was many. So God is a many. He's a diverse God. That's God for you. Speaking of pigeon, I remembered one of my peers back in school. We were praying together. I think I've shared this before. You know where the scripture says, be wise as serpents and be harmless as what? As doves. So it was in the heat of prayer and the anointing where we all gathered our hands together. And this guy was praying, sweat. The moment he was done praying, I was about to preach. It's many years ago, probably 2005. And he said, the Bible says, you know, when you are preaching and you are hooping and you are praying, you are sweating. The Bible says, be wise as serpent and be harmless as. So the dove left his head. So he now said, be harmless as. He kept repeating the harmless, be harmless as. So we just thought, just move on, amen. Just move on, move on, move on. He had to finish it. Be harmless as pigeon. The moment he said pigeon, all of us, we just removed our hands. We went to laugh. Then come back to assemble to pray again. Oh my God. God is a poly God. Speaking in tongues is actually meant to be the experience of every believer. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 again. Let's read from verse 6 down and then we get to verse 8. Let's read from verse 6 down. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Then verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So now, you see the word witness there. I'm going to define this word witness so you understand it. But let's keep going. And in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Then in chapter 2, the fulfillment of the scripture came. And when the fullness of time came, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Now, when Jesus said you shall receive power, the question is, power for what? So this is where I have a problem. If the day of Pentecost was majorly or only for speaking in tongues, then we have missed it. So I see two extremes, even from the Pentecostals and those who are not Pentecostals. Those who are not Pentecostals don't even accept speaking in tongues in the first place. And let me say very humbly, a lot of things will be missing in your experience if the fullness of the Spirit is not present. Because he says, don't go out yet. You need to be endued with power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then you shall be witnesses. So it means without the fullness of the Spirit of God, there is a certain level or dimension of witnessing that you cannot present to the world. That's one. Then for we who are Pentecostals, if we thought that the endowment of power from the day of Pentecost and ongoing was for speaking in tongues only, then we made a mistake. Speaking in tongues is actually supposed to be an evidence, not the purpose. The fullness of the Spirit of God that came upon the people in the early church, the 120, it was for something. But it was evidenced by speaking in tongues. So when we magnify speaking in tongues, as if to say speaking in tongues is the sole objective of the fullness of the Spirit, there's something it leaves you with. You settle for probably a fruitless Christian life. Because all you think you have is speaking in tongues. I've got the goal. The goal is to speak in tongues. Help me look at your neighbor and say, it's more than that. The purpose of being filled is not just to speak in tongues, but write this one down. I want you to write it so you will never forget. The purpose of being filled is to give proof of the resurrection, boldly witnessing Christ to unbelievers. The purpose of the endowment of power is to give proof of the resurrection and boldly witnessing Christ to unbelievers. That is the essence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the evidence is that you speak in tongues. So the journey should be this way, that once an individual gets saved, that individual needs to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you've listened to my teaching before, I made it clear that when Luke was talking about baptism and filling, there's a way he wrote it. The first experience, which is the born-again experience, is the baptism. That's the way he puts it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the next experience, where you keep getting filled, because being filled is supposed to be a continuous experience. It's not supposed to be something you have one time. The early church got filled with the Holy Spirit and they continued to be filled with the Holy Spirit ongoing. They were not just filled with the Holy Spirit one time. They were filled with the Holy Spirit many times. Even those who were in the upper room. So Luke uses
baptism for the born-again experience, and the ongoing experience of being filled, he uses the word filled with the Holy Spirit. So, it is to give proof to the resurrection. Why did Jesus say, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power? Because there's a background story. And let me tell you the background story. Somebody just died. This man resurrected or was raised from the dead, and some religious leaders bribed the soldiers to tell a lie that some mobs or people had stolen the body of Jesus. So what was going on is that when the disciples were preaching the resurrection of Jesus, religious leaders and the soldiers, or the Roman soldiers, were countering the words of the disciples by saying that's fake news because he's not alive. Rather, his body was stolen. And meanwhile, within the 40 days of Jesus' resurrection, there were many proofs that Jesus rose from the dead. I thought about it. What of the soldiers who were guarding the tomb? Maybe the two of them. And when that grave burst open, because when the ladies came, they saw when John outran Peter, but Peter entered first because he was bolder, but he was probably older. That's why John outran him. By the time they got to the tomb, the thing was open already. And then they got there and they saw a proof of the resurrection. You know, those days when they want to bury someone, like you have your POP now. This our POP. That's the way the embalmment used to be wrapped around. They would wrap it. You know, if you're making POP, it's not as solid. It's semi-solid. And then you begin to put it around the body. And after a while, it forms a cast. You see? So the dead body is in a cast. Is no longer in the semi-solid form again. But you probably will see the space or the holes where the eyes are and all of that. When Peter and John got into that tomb, they saw the cast was intact. But they would look through the hole where the eyes are, and there was nobody in there. That's why when they came out of the grave, there is nothing anybody could tell them because they were so convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. Because if someone was going to come out of that cast, the first thing that will happen is the cast will shatter. But the cast was intact, meaning that Jesus rose. And when they even saw the napkin folded by the side. Go and read your Bible. So the truth of the fact that Jesus rose, because if we don't agree on the fact that Jesus rose, it means our preaching is in vain. First of all, what we believe in, our faith entirely, is of no benefit. Our grace, our preaching, our faith, everything is in vain. When the Gnostics were spreading rumors and talks about their beliefs, and they were saying that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, because the Gnostic belief is that God is spirit and evil is matter. That's the theology of the Gnostics. If you read 1 John was written to a mixed crowd, the Gnostics and the believers. The Gnostics believe that whatever is tangible, whatever you can touch, is evil. So they had a devilish doctrine that said, your spirit is pure before God, but because your body is matter, your body can do anything or any atrocity it wants to do because matter is evil. It belongs to evil. But your spirit is pure. And they also denied that Jesus came in the form of a human being. The Gnostics believe that Jesus appeared in a pseudo-human form. That he wasn't entirely human, but he was entirely spirit. But you saw the appearance of a body. It was not a human being. So when John was writing, he was writing to counter what the Gnostics were saying. That's why he started by saying, these things, that which we have seen with our eyes. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? 1 John chapter 1. That which we have seen, that which, I wish you have it on the screen, that which our hands have handled of the very word of life. That means he's saying, look at it. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, yeah, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled of the word of life. He's saying that Jesus was physical. You can't deny that he came in the form of a human being. We could touch him. So leave all the Gnostic theory. And then people started to say, fake news. Jesus is not alive. People who celebrate gods and they say their gods protect them, they make their gods. Our own God made us, came in the form of flesh, died, and rose again. Our own Jesus is alive. And the proof of the life of Jesus is that the Holy Spirit came. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit cannot come. So I want you to follow me very carefully, or you might just a little bit. The apostles started to declare Jesus is alive. The miracles were proof of this resurrection. So there's a reason why Jesus told them, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Because he knew that contentions will come. And the only way to silence contentions is when people begin to see miracles. So Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Are you seeing the scripture right now? So the Bible here says that for the purpose of resurrection, to show that the resurrection is true, the Bible says that God gave the apostles great power. With great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to let you know that in this generation, witnesses must be raised. And that's what God is doing in these end times right now. God is raising witnesses amongst us. Follow the spirit of this message, Joe. Our gospel is not supposed to be in only talk. Our gospel is supposed to come with some level of demonstrations. Because if during the ascension of Jesus, his resurrection, his ascension, people were in contention of his resurrection, how much more now? When things are getting darker. So what do you have in this generation? We are in a generation inevitably where the name of God is not even known again. We, all of us, we are privileged to be born by parents who have religious backgrounds. Some of you were under something wrong with the mic. The sound. Many of us have parents that knew God. So it's easy for us to say, I'm a Christian. Nigeria is a religious nation. But if you travel to the UK, there are a lot of people who have never heard of Jesus. They don't even know that there is a God. You know, I'm not talking about the atheists who are in denial of God. Because there's a group of atheists who say, I don't believe God exists. The reason why they say they don't believe God exists is because they're angry with God. Because if God exists, maybe God should not have allowed my mother die, my father die, or I lost my faith, my whatever it is. But you and I are blessed to come from families, be in environments where God is not strange to us. But if you travel abroad, it's creeping into Africa gradually. People are rising without a knowledge of God. And the only way this generation is going to survive it is when we preach the gospel with a witness to the gospel. That our gospel is not just in mere, he died for you. He died for you, we produce the power. So, that's why Jesus said, tarry, because you need something in the proclamation of this gospel that you're preaching. How do you even preach the gospel starting from what Christ has done for you when the person does not even know there is a God in the first place? You know, we are teaching the church who we are in Christ right now. But we are faced with a bigger problem that is coming, because our children, if not well carried along in the things of the Spirit, we begin to look for God in their schools, in their environments, in their associations. You know, when the Bible says that God, they did not acknowledge God in their hearts, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Go and read Romans chapter 1. You see that there was a generation that did not acknowledge God. And then the perverseness of everything that is supposed to not be in human beings, in the thinking of a human being, men started to think strange because God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So we are faced with a big challenge, but we have a good solution. And that solution is that we are called to be witnesses. Our message is predicated on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. It says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Then verse 15. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. So our testimony, what makes you a witness, is that you are giving proof to the resurrection. And the proof you are giving will come in signs and in wonders. Please, signs and wonders are not for only pastors. Signs and wonders are for believers. Not just pastors. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. For you to be saved, one of the criteria for salvation, look at it, is that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. So, the raising of Jesus from the dead is key to our faith. We are witnesses to these things. And being a witness will come with proof of knowing and how to demonstrate signs and wonders. What is the word witness? The word witness means materion. You can call it materion or materion in the Greek, which means something evidential. That's the word witness. Or evidence that is given. It also means with proof. It also means testimony. So the word witness is materion or matyrion, M-A-R-T-Y-R-I-O-N in the Greek, and it means something evidential or it means something given. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 11, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things. I want us to read this together. I want to point out something very important here. Let's read it together. One, two, go. And said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. It means that there are things to hear and there are things to what? To see. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be taught and will also be demonstrated. The things of the Spirit are meant to be taught and they are also meant to be demonstrated because we need the demonstration of the Spirit. There are a lot of people who will not believe your Jesus until they see something. There was a man of God who, T.L. Osborne, he traveled around nations and he came back with a testimony after going to 60 countries in the early part of his ministry that people who do not know God will only submit to a God that is higher than their own gods. And the way you measure the highness of a God is when spiritual power is in display. So if you are preaching a gospel that is void of power, they will never submit to your God. People will hear something, but they would also see something. This is the reason why when God told Moses, go to Pharaoh, because if you understand what it means to make a king, kings are made with the... In fact, when you say someone is a king, it means the king is the head of the witches. He's not just the head of a cabinet. He's also the head of spiritual forces. That's why he's the king. So I don't know of where you come from, but I know of where I come from. Because where I come from in the western part of the country, my father gives me a little bit of history. My great-grandfather was a king. And when we go to the village or the palace, I see some of their ritual stuff. And then my grandfather took after him. My grandfather started to practice a lot of fetish stuff. My uncles would tell me he would leave the house as a human being and come back as a leopard in the night. They have things that they wash your face with. You go to the market square and you see people walking upside down. Have you heard stories like that? Those things are real. Satanic power is real. But Jesus' power is super power. Super power. Now, when you come to a village like that, and you begin to preach the gospel, Jesus loves you, he died for you, they may, out of courtesy, hear what you're saying, but go back to their juju they trust. Because I need something that will protect me from evil in the minds of the average villager in that place. My father one day went to hold a crusade, and some people were giving him issues. The moment he landed, charms stopped working. At that point, they begin to tell each other, something is going, something wrong is happening. My mother was praying. My mom was with him one day. She was there. She started praying at 4 a.m. God blesses you if you have a praying wife. As a man, God blesses you if you have a praying wife. It's a blessing. My mother started to pray from 4 o'clock in the morning. A woman rushed into their room. She said because her ceiling was coming down to meet her and she knew where the problem was. The problem was coming from my mother. My mother was oppressing her. You will oppress devil, because devil know they pity anybody. There was a woman who traced our house from the village with spiritual Google map. That was not the time. This was 1997. GSM phones were not really active then. How she found our house, we don't know. She got to the house. She would hardly come out for lunch or whatever. She's mostly in her room. There was a day she was in her room, I believe conjuring stuff. That day we had severe accidents, domestic accidents in my house. My sister was on a rail somewhere upstairs. And for some reason, the rail gave way. While she was just leaning on the rail. And my sister, I'm sure you know her, Priscilla, who came, the one who... She came, fell face down. Something as high as probably, yes, the lintel level here. Fell face down to the floor. Broke her teeth, dislocated her hand or her wrist. Her wrist, like you see how straight this is now, this came out, so it was in the shape of a chair. My last sister saw it, and it was funny to her. She laughed. Then one of us gave her a dirty slap to remind her that this is a serious moment. You can't be laughing now. It's not normal to laugh at this point. And I won't tell you who the one of us is. Somebody's saying, we know. You don't know. It was bad. Things started to happen at the same time. We quickly rushed her to the hospital, broke her teeth, and it was bad. Took her to the office. My dad saw it. He didn't say anything. My mom didn't say anything. Took her to the hospital, had a surgery, fixed her wrist. My mom started to pray. At exactly 3 a.m. in the morning. 3 a.m. in the morning. She ran to my father's door, started banging the door. My father came out and says, what is the matter? He said, please beg your wife for me. Tell her it's okay and I am sorry. Now, the woman left. They told us when she got to the village that she was almost mad when she got to the village. Now, when you say Jesus is Lord, to that community who has witnessed the superiority of the power of God over fetish things, it's easy for them to take your Jesus. And with great power, the apostles had witness of the resurrection. Our Jesus is risen. Our God is alive in the person of Jesus. So we cannot be powerless Christians. Because in this generation that we are in, they don't know God. They don't want to acknowledge God. That is the reason why when God told Moses, as you get to Pharaoh's palace, first of all, display power. Because if you are going to silence Pharaoh's palace, the first thing Pharaoh is going to do is he will intimidate you with his power, his office. And then, when they drop their sticks, I hope you know that the plagues were battles between the gods of Egypt. Who has watched the movie, The Gods of Egypt? Okay. All those plagues you see, the 10 plagues, they were all battles against the gods of Egypt. I don't have time to talk about that. So when Moses' rod swallows the rod of all the magicians, then they now believe in our Jesus. So you know what is going to happen? You will become that witness. Because you have received the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive what? Power. After the Holy Spirit is come upon me. Let's say it together. I receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon me. There's some things that should not dance around you because you have the power of God. Let me say this in a way that would probably resonate to you more. Don't accept weaknesses. Don't. Stop embracing. You know, it's sympathetic. You want to be empathetic about weaknesses sometimes. But be someone who stands from the place of strength all the time. There's nothing to celebrate about weakness. Nothing. There's nothing to celebrate about excuses. You have the power of God. in the preaching of our gospel, people must hear something, but they must see something. They have to. Whenever you have the opportunity for people to see something, don't shy away from it. Some of you have had opportunities to lay hands on people, and you just will not, because you feel you're not ready. For we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. Kenneth Hagin said that if a generation is not taught on the move of the Spirit, that generation will be totally lost on everything about the move of the Spirit. There are more scriptures. I'm rounding up now. Imagine John was asking, is this the Jesus? Meanwhile, John, who was in the belly of his mom, he knew who Jesus was. By the time Mary said hello to Elizabeth, the Bible says that John, in the mother of Elizabeth, leaped. So the unconscious John recognized Jesus. But the conscious John was questioning Jesus. And when he sent his disciples to go meet Jesus, are you the Christ, or should we expect another? You know what Jesus said? He said, go and tell John what you see. He said, the blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So you see the combination of the preaching of the gospel and the demonstration of the power that comes from the gospel. So you must learn to exercise your faith. Every time you have an opportunity, someone is sick, lay hands. Situations are upside down, speak to it. Because who knows? It is the display of these signs that will draw men to your God. Who knows? No wonder the Bible says, I and they that the Lord has given to me, we are made for what? Signs and wonders. People must see signs. You're not a powerless Christian. The Holy Ghost in you is not the spirit of a man. The Holy Spirit in you is the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body, He's able to quicken your mortal bodies. That's why I told you, you must fight weaknesses. We're in the days where every believer is called a witness now. Every believer is called a witness. So there must be proofs all around you. You know how to speak to resources and resources answer to you. Talk to me, somebody. You know how to speak to people's emotions and people's minds and people's hearts that they bow to the name of Jesus, because the death and life are in the power of the tongue to whom possesses the Holy Ghost. You know what to do. We're that witness generation. That's who we are. So some of you will travel to places, but please try and come back before 31st night. When you get to places where you know the power of God needs to be displayed, display it. Oh, I'm feeling pain on my back. Your first default response should be, mommy, let me pray for you, because I know what I carry. Your best friend is telling you. You know, some of you get too familiar and you don't know how to express the power of God because you are ashamed of it. There are certain things that happen to people when they receive the infilling. One of it is boldness to speak. So in the move of the Holy Ghost, you receive boldness. In Acts chapter 4, what happened? The Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and where they were praying, the place started to shake where they were praying. And after they were done, they now said that they were bold in declaring the gospel, because they were initially threatened before. Boldness. I know your friends know your past. But don't let it intimidate you. Say, if I tell him let's pray, or if I tell her let's pray, she will laugh at me. You say, this one, look at you. When you start to pray, you don't turn pastor. You know all those funny jokes that minimize the power of God in your life? Huh? Watch out for those kind of jokes. Someone can look at you and throw an arrow at you and say, you don't do this one now. Don't get discouraged. Keep on. Keep on. Because we must be a generation of the witness. Somebody say yes. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he what? He went about doing what? Doing good. That's your business. Everywhere you go, you must do good. Because you have the power to do good wherever you are. So we're not just Christians by mouth. We're Christians in demonstration. Both in our life and in the display of signs and wonders. Acts chapter 8. Verse 5, Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, you see an example of Philip in Samaria. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. But that's not all. Watch it. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things, what? Spoken by Philip. Are you reading with me now? All right. Let's read it together. Let's read that part. One, two, go. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Look, a whole city came to stand still. Not just because a man was talking, but they saw some things. Some of you are coming from a polygamous family where God is not celebrated. You can be the beacon of light there, where the things that you speak will be taken heed of. Because of what your family members will hear and see. Now let's keep reading. Verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were what? Were healed. Say with me, say, this is me. Look, if you are not seeing yourself in this light, this thing will not jump on you. Because as I'm talking right now, something is coming on you. Okay? But you have to begin to see yourself like this. This is you. This is what I'm talking about, is who you are. Okay? Look at the next verse. Verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. This man took a city because they did not just hear the preaching of the gospel, but they heard the preaching of the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And my speech, my yarns, my gist with you. You know, this is not even about shouting. You can be talking very calmly and demons are leaving people. The Bible says that the shadow of Peter healed the sick. That is within a radius of where Peter was. Demons were just malfunctioning. You walk into a place and demons begin to leave people. That is the dimension you walk in. People, this generation needs to see that side of you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not ordained though. They never pour oil on your head. You are not even a leader in church. You are just a believer. I'm a believer. Just a believer. Mark chapter 16 verse 17. These signs will follow them. Not who are pastors, but we follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with tongues. They will drink deadly things. It will not hurt them. The word demonstration there is apodexis. Say with me, say apodexis. Apodexis is demonstration. It means proof. And you know what I want you to do right now? Let your life be filled with apodexis. Let your life be filled with the proof of the resurrection power of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 15, second to the last scripture. Romans chapter 15 and verse 18. Romans chapter 15, verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. In other words, let me speak for myself. In word and deed. Look at that word. Word and deed. To make the Gentiles what? Obedient. Some people will not be obedient if they don't see the deed. So word and what? And deed. Let's say it together. Word and deed. Give your neighbor a high five. Say word and deed. Word and deed. Word and deed. Mm-hmm. Word and deed. Next verse. Verse 19. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about to that place, I have fully preached the gospel. Bore Gebaya. Oh, lift your hands. Say, mighty signs are worked in these hands. Mighty signs are produced by these hands. Mighty signs will be demonstrated by these hands. Are you saying it with me? Say it again. Say, mighty signs and wonders will be demonstrated by my hands. God has called us to be a witness. So, do you know that one of these ways you can be a witness is even in business? That you are not following the books in business, because the hand of God is on your business. Hey, God, am I talking to people here? The stock market is failing. The market is falling. But you are rising, because your economy is not the economy of this world. Firstly, you are a citizen of heaven. And if they deport people who are not citizens in a country, where do they go back to? They go back to their own country. I'm not saying you go now, but I'm just letting you know that you are a citizen of heaven. Talk to me, somebody. Say, I'm a citizen of heaven. Hebrews chapter 2, last scripture, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect? Read with me, please. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Next verse. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles. Somebody say various miracles. And gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why the gifts of the Spirit are not for nothing. The gifts of the Spirit that you have been endowed with is for the display of the power of God, to give witness to the resurrection. That God bearing witness, both with signs and with wonders, various miracles. Go back to that verse, please. And gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. This is who we are. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is who we are. Look, wherever you are, you will become a witness of the power of God. Wherever you are, you become a witness of the resurrection. Wherever you are, you become a witness of the Spirit. The preaching of the gospel is meant to be done as a witness. So that's the generation that we're called into, to provide a witness so that all men will see and glorify God. People will come to the saving knowledge of God, the saving knowledge of Christ. So that's why when a small headache comes, you should know what to do. Start rehearsing with yourself. Okay, I speak to my head in the name of Jesus. Peace be still. And watch out for the healing time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Begin to practice with yourself. You lay your hands on your back. You lay your hands on your belly. And you tell yourself, in the name of Jesus, I am healed. And then begin to watch out for improvement. Are you following what I'm saying? And then when you get better at practicing with yourself, you now extend it to practicing with others. They will lay their hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. That's how you go. You know, we must teach our children the move of the power of God now. Because our own children, what they will combat will be more than us. So teach your children, healed in the name of Jesus. Let them learn how to say it. Teach your children how to lay hands. Healed in the name of Jesus. Blessed in the name of Jesus. When your daughter is scared because light goes off, you teach your daughter how to recite, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of sound mind. And you teach your daughter or you teach your son how to say, I have a sound mind. Teach your children the scripture. Teach them how to receive the things of the Holy Ghost. Samuel began from when he was a baby. There was a guide. There was someone who was telling him, when you hear a voice, the next time you hear the voice, you tell that voice, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There was someone to instruct him. So we must teach our generation. We must begin to practice with ourselves the move of the Spirit. I'm good. Don't worry, man of God. I know it's my wife who sent you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please take a picture. Stay here. Come and take a picture. I will taunt him with it. Leba ya talaba. Of whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie. Praise God. I like that Pastor Victor. I like to do it with him all the time. Amen. These signs will follow them that believe. Oh, in my name. Archbishop Benson, that was, I heard this story. He started looking for a house where there was a dead person just to prove what he has heard. Bam, bam, bam. Is there any dead man here? Imagine if someone knocks at your house and says, is there anybody dead in your house? How do you feel? Until he actually got to a house and there was a dead person. And then he prayed, nothing happened. He went back to the scripture. He read and he saw that Jesus drove everybody out and told them, stay away. So he did the same. He said, all of you go out. He opened the scripture again. He saw. And then he began to speak. Before you know it, the little girl sneezed. The whole of Benin. If you know where Benin is, Benin. In fact, let's forget Benin. Benin. The real Benin. Benin is where every junction you are or you get, you see idol worship or some form of idol there. And before you know it, there was a word that came when the move of the Spirit hit Benin Edo State through Archbishop Idausa. He told them, he says, any sacrifice you see, you can, is blessed. Take and eat. Freely you receive, freely you give. When people's eyes got open to see that their sacrifices were being eaten, they stopped putting sacrifice. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will what? Cast out devils. I and they that the Lord has given to me, we are made for signs and wonders. You are called to be a wonder on this earth. How can your life be ordinary? You cannot be ordinary. Let me teach you how to think. The way you think is, think supernatural first before you think natural. That's how to develop yourself. What is this supernatural approach? They tell you something is going wrong in the office. The first thing you are doing is, okay, let me go and pray about it. Let me go and pray about it. Before you start to do all your permutations and your calculations. And you know, you don't have to pray for people to know you are praying. Because you can be mumbling in tongues. You can just be like that. And nobody knows you are praying, but something is shifting. Because as for you, something has to change when it comes to you. Your presence is the reason why that business cannot go down. Am I talking to people right now? Your presence is the reason why God has to favor your job, has to favor your boss, has to favor everybody working with you. Your presence is the reason why everything around, it must be well with you. We are a witness generation. Listen to me. If not, only Yan cannot bring the 80s to God. Though. Yes, sir. They already made up in their mind that, look, God does not exist. There's nothing you want to tell them. But by the time you look at them and you say to one of them, I see one of your sisters in the hospital with a liver function failure, or a liver failure. And I speak in the name of Jesus, by this time tomorrow, your sister will be up on her feet. And when it happens, now that guy go to find you. The guy will begin to look for you. Say, show me your God, because I want to serve the God you serve. We're a witness generation. We are called for signs and wonders. And let me encourage you. If you lay hands, it doesn't work. Don't say it's not working. Press deeper. Keep doing it. Even Jesus prayed for somebody. And when the person's eyes got open, the man saw human beings like trees. Jesus went to a place, and the Bible says he could do no miracle. Jesus. So don't be discouraged about it. The disciples could not cast out a demon. Someone brought a demon to them. They couldn't cast it. The father of the child came and said to Jesus, I brought this demon possessed person to your disciples. They could not cast him out. And then Jesus said, this time, go not out, but by prayer and fasting. But do you know, it was those same disciples, like I said to you, that the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. Handkerchiefs from Paul was healing the sick. Peter looked at one and he said, look on us. For what I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The guy did not stand up. Oh, man of God, sit down. Let me tell you what Peter did. The guy did not stand up. When he said it, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Peter pulled him. Get up. Because the things of the Spirit requires boldness. I'm a witness generation. I can't hear you, TSP. Say, I'm a witness generation. Look at your neighbor. Tell three people, I'm a witness generation. I'm a witness. I'm a witness generation. I'm a witness. If you know you are a witness generation, say it loud. Say, I'm a witness generation. I am made for signs and wonders. So no more talk. Talk plus action. That's what makes us witness. Witness of the resurrection. Rise on your feet, everybody. Gedabaya. Lift your hands up as we pray. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.